Hey, sisters in the middle. It is a new year and we are back. Yes, the Realize More with God podcast is back. I know I have been missing in action. I've missed all of you. I've missed the podcast. Wow. Yeah. 2023. What a year it turned out to be. Definitely a messy middle season. Last year's happenings started in late spring with health issues with parents-in-law, then with the hubs man, more health issues, lots of just chaos going on with all that stuff. I did get to enjoy a once-in-a-lifetime trip in September. I got to go with my son, and we did a tour of Turkey and Greece, just the two of us, following in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. Like I said, totally a once-in-a-lifetime trip. I will look forward to telling you more about that in bits and pieces as we go forward this year in the podcast. What else? Oh, I finished a milestone, my second master's degree. It's a Master of Ministry at Wesley Seminary. Completed that just in December. And yeah, so just a lot going on. And now it is 2024. I love a fresh new calendar, an empty planner, that whole empty page, you know, to start writing, the wonder of what can be. I think that's what it is. And it seems like, you know, there's always a lot of talk about resolutions at the beginning of the new year, what to change, what to do or not do. Of course, resolutions have kind of fallen out of favor in recent years. I think the statistics that are pretty dismal show that resolutions don't usually succeed. People don't follow through. And so that's kind of convinced people that's not really the approach to take. But hey, some of us, others of us, you know, we all have different attitudes about the resolutions. But what are resolutions anyway? They're just promises that we make. We make them to ourselves. We make them to others. We make them to God. Promises. So some people love this idea of a new year with resolutions and promises. And others of us find ourselves in a different season. That midlife season that we are in can be one of those times. We may not know what promises we want to make because we are in this midlife season of questioning what is the next move? You know, what is my direction? What's my purpose? What does God want me to do now as an empty nester or changing careers, nearing retirement or in retirement, divorced or widowed? Just lots of these changes in this season. We may feel like just that something's missing and we just don't know. Like, what is it that I want to set for goals or resolutions this coming year? Others of us, and I've been in that first category. I've also been in the second category when we aren't even sure how to make promises because life is so complicated. Some of us are caregivers, and so many other people and circumstances seem to push in or control our lives that it's like, how can I make a plan or a promise or resolutions when I can't even organize my day? I can't even get into the shower, take a shower by myself, let alone plan for the coming year, you know? I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I've been there and sometimes still am. Others of us are just hesitant to make promises for this coming year because we're realizing our limitations, our age, our energy levels, our health, the time, how much time we have, limitations of money, and also just all of those as they impact our dreams and our thoughts about what we are doing, what we can do. And all of that affects how we feel about this beginning of the new year. So whatever, sisters, whatever your relationship is with this idea of resolutions, love them or hate them, wherever you're at in this life at the beginning of this new year, today, we are going to find some inspiration and direction for this coming year. We're going to flip the script, okay? And we are going to exchange our promises, our resolutions, for something better. God's promises to us. Looking for something more in this middle season of life? Lie awake at night wondering what God wants you to do and how to hear His voice clearly? I see you, sister. We're in the messy middle. Hey, I'm Angie, midlife mentor and missionary. I was busy chasing all the things when one day I woke up in the middle, and it didn't look at all like I expected. I realized my faith was too flimsy to handle all the stuff midlife was throwing at me, and I wanted to serve God with my gifts, but I just couldn't get any traction until God pulled me out of the mess and put my feet on the path to a life of peace and purpose, right here, in the middle. In this podcast, you'll discover the next steps God has for you in this season, new ways to go deeper than ever before with Jesus, and biblical tools to walk this journey with more of everything God wants for you. You ready? Come on, we're not sleeping anyway, so pop in those earbuds and let's talk. Okay, so we are talking about 2024, and we're going to flip the script, exchanging our promises or resolutions for God's promises to us. Now, this is not about being against setting goals and making plans. Totally, if our plans and our goals are prayerfully made, thoughtfully made, spirit-led, this is a great thing, and totally I am for that. We have to do that, right? But at the beginning of this year, I was thinking about my own perspective, about how to approach this year. And when we talk about our plans, our goals, our resolutions, what we are going to do or not do, change, fix, accomplish, all of this, it seems like the focus is really on me, very much on me. And what I am doing, what I need to do, what I must do, what I want to do, it's a lot about my promises to myself, to others, and to God. But my promises, humanly powered, are not likely to succeed on the long term. And even if they do, they're not going to succeed to the extent that God has intended for me to experience if I'm just really going after this in my own power and by my own self. It makes me think of two instances in the Bible, at least two instances. First one is when the children of Israel were receiving God's law after they had been delivered, liberated from Egypt. God and Moses brought them out of Egypt. You can read about this episode in Exodus 19 and also Exodus 24, that whole section of in the book of Exodus. So they come to the mountain, and God, through Moses, is giving them his law, this big picture of how to live in harmony with him and each other and to be happy and fulfilled. And even before, there's two statements that the children of Israel make. One is before God gives them the law, and the other is after. And both times they make this promise. They say, everything that the Lord has said, we will do. They made a promise. But we know how that turned out. Not so good. In fact, just a few chapters later, in Exodus 32, Moses is still on the mountain with God, and the children of Israel, the people, are waiting. And in their waiting and impatience, they're kind of like, forget Yahweh, forget Moses. Who knows what happened to him? Make us a golden calf. That will be our God, and that God will lead us forward. So promises did not last. Kind of like many New Year's resolutions. Okay, the other episode, the other instance that I think of is with the disciples of Jesus. When Jesus tried to tell them that he was going to have to suffer and die, that this was the plan for the Messiah, not the glorious defeat of the Romans, and he was going to be put on the throne like they wanted, okay, that they had in mind, and God's plan were completely different than what they were expecting. So anyway, as he's explaining this to them, they all still promised their loyalty. They were going to stick with Jesus no matter what. In Matthew 26:35, we know Peter, right? He's the real spokesman. And he says, even if I have to die with you, Jesus, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. But we know that not very long after that, Peter denied Jesus, denied even knowing him, completely turned his back on him, and the other disciples ran away as well when Jesus was taken for the crucifixion. Human-powered promises. Something is missing. So God's promises, on the other hand, his word, is alive. It's creative. As we know, Isaiah 55 verses 10 and 11 say, "The rain and snow come down from heaven and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word," God says. "I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." All God's promises are going to be accomplished for his purposes. We can count on them. All God's promises in Jesus are yes and amen. That's what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 1:20. No matter how many promises God has made, every one of them is yes and amen in Christ. So instead of focusing on what we are going to do, what we resolve or promise for this year, let's focus on what God is doing, is going to do, wants to do in you, through you, and for you in this year. Now, maybe you have a word of the year, something like that. I love this idea. I do this myself as well. But this time, I also want to encourage you to find a promise for this year. Spend some time, reflect, pray, journal, consider, and see what promise the Spirit gives you. What promise does God have for you in 2024? Now, this is not name it and claim it. This is not a magic formula. We are not creating our own reality with a Christian twist, that kind of New Age concept. This is seeking a word from God, opening ourselves to what God has for us. We always need to be praying to our Father in heaven, who knows what we need. He knows the desires of our hearts. And just as in Jesus' example prayer, the Lord's Prayer, we call it, he said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The first place we want his will to be done on earth is in our lives. So we are coming to God's word, seeking his promises to us with heart attitudes of openness and what God wants to do. This is his work, not ours, okay? And what does he have for us? That's what we are seeking. So once you've taken this time and you've found or received your promise, how can we respond? What is our part to do with this promise that God has for us? I want to give you today just three ways to receive and respond to God's promises. The first way is with wonder. Wonder, childlike wonder. Think of it that way. We are going to wonder, how is God going to answer? How is he going to fulfill this promise? This is important because this is about not having our own ideas locked in, like this is the way that God will be answering this promise. In John 5, we find the story of a man who was paralyzed for 38 years. He's at the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus comes to him and asks him, "Do you want to be made well?" The man's answer is really interesting. He doesn't actually answer Jesus' question. He starts responding with the different problems, the reasons why he can't get into the water, because the idea there was, if you could get into the pool when it was thought that an angel came and troubled the water, in other words, the water got all stirred up, and the first person into the pool at that time would be healed. And so the man basically just says, "Well, I've been here for, you know, all these years, and I have nobody to help me get into the water, and so I can't be healed." Interesting, because basically Jesus, the healer, the one who is the divine power of healing, is right in front of him. But instead of seeing Jesus for who he is, he's concentrating on what he thinks must happen for him to be healed. And I think that we do the same thing sometimes. The promise is there. God wants to fulfill a promise in our lives, but we have already decided how the promise must be fulfilled. And this idea of wonder is giving that up, giving it to God, and accepting His answer of how it's going to be fulfilled, and taking an attitude of this childlike wonder. Think of, again, our Father in heaven, and waiting and wondering, what is He going to do? How is He going to answer this? And being open. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts, Isaiah 55:9 tells us. Open ourselves in wonder to how God is going to answer, fulfill this promise. Okay, that's number one, wonder. Number two is waiting. Expectant waiting, confident waiting. This kind of waiting is with faith-filled obedience. This is with eyes that see that God is at work in all things. Let's go back to that man in John chapter 5, paralyzed for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus says to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The man says, "I don't have anyone to put me in the water." He doesn't even answer Jesus' question. He's looking at himself, his powerlessness, his circumstances, all the obstacles, the reasons why he can't get into the water. Sister, let's take our eyes off of ourselves, off of our limitations and abilities, take our eyes off of our circumstances, the obstacles, the problems, and let's turn our eyes and focus on our Father who has all resources, all possibilities. Let's be faith-filled, full of faith that God is working to fulfill His promise. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. That faith is focused on a person, on Jesus. This also means we are not running ahead. We are not trying to make it all happen ourselves. We are being obedient when God directs us to act or to be still. So faith-filled obedience. Waiting expectantly. Waiting. Number three is working. Working with the Holy Spirit. This is placing ourselves where God can meet us and work in our lives to fulfill His promise. Depending on what promise we believe that God has given us for this year, in any case, God often works in circumstances to change the circumstances. But He always works in us to change us in the process and in the waiting. This working with the Holy Spirit is creating space for us to listen, for us to hear God's voice, for us to think God's thoughts, to know Him more intimately. The way that we do this is through spiritual practices or spiritual disciplines, prayer, Bible study, meditation, worship, fasting, silence, solitude, and there are many more spiritual practices. Now, these are not for the purpose of earning something, or it's like somehow I do this and then God will do what He's promised. It's not a formula like that. This is participating with God, allowing Him to transform me as He is working to fulfill His promise in me and in my circumstances. We are going to be concentrating this year in the podcast on all the different spiritual practices and disciplines, which have the purpose of helping us connect deeply, intimately with God, living out His will in our everyday life. Do you want to connect with God for direction and purpose for a meaningful midlife this year, this 2024? This is the first step you can take. Depend on God's promises to you, what He is going to do, instead of focusing on yourself and what you need to do. Even if you are making plans, even as you are making plans, setting goals, trying to keep your word of the year as your focus, these are all good things. I encourage you to take the time to reflect and pray over one or more promises that God impresses you with that He wants to fulfill in your life this year. receive and respond to those promises with the three ways we've talked about today, with childlike wonder, with expectant waiting, and with intentional working, cooperating with the Holy Spirit. This way, you are allowing God to work in you and through you so that all your plans and goals will be aligned with His purposes for you, and His grace will empower you going forward in 2024. I would love to hear what the promise is that you are claiming for this year, what you believe God wants to do in your life. Come over to our Realize More with God Facebook group. It's called Encouraging Christian Women in the Messy Middle. I will put the link in the show notes here. Or you can send me an email and tell me about your promise for this year, Angie@realizemorewithgod.org. I will meet you here again next week, sisters. It's been great to get back together again. Can't wait to continue this new year and see what God is going to do in all of us. And I am praying for you to be growing in wholeness and holiness in Jesus. See you next week. Real quick before you go, if this podcast blessed you in some way, I would so appreciate it if you would share it with another sister in the middle. And the number one way you can bless me is to leave a written review for the show over on Apple Podcasts. I read each review, I love knowing what's touched you, and I get inspired hearing from you. You can also send me a DM and let me know how I can pray for you, or give me an idea of what you would like me to talk about on the show. I'll meet you back here same time next week. Until then, walk in God's grace and peace.